You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Amara Gay.
And the life and loss. We're going to break down that thing called hurt and pain. And of course, we're going to shed some light on being a bomb.
Listen up.
There is a thing that's called entertainment. That's where you're entertained and educated at the exact same time. Kind of like what I call being inspired and motivated. And of course, I call that motivation.
Lean in. Listen up now.
OMG, OMG, OMG. Welcome to OMG, the Omara Gayle Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gayle, actress, author, evangelist, and co-producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM the Movement. And you know what I love to do? I love to help people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of a situation, the better the vantage point so that you can make informed decisions. You see, I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach, which is why my special guest tonight is all the more important because this woman has lived and has learned, and she uses everything in her as a platform to share the lessons and the values of that. My special guest tonight is an inspirational speaker, an award-winning actress, an author, and drama therapy specialist. This young lady is actually the creative director of Raw Empowerment Movement. It's an empowerment movement that she's going to break down to the marrow and let you know how she spent over two decades perfecting this thing. She is a specialist in her own right. Please be so kind. Put your virtual hands together and welcome to OMG, my sister, my sorority sister, my Christian sister, and my friend, Navanya Rhodes. Welcome to OMG.
Thank you, Mara. OMG, I'm glad to be in the number. Girl, you make me sound like chocolate. Ooh-wee.
Chocolate with some caramel syrup, because you all of that, and with the cherry on top. You know I loved you from hello. I am so glad we're going to have an opportunity to have a conversation and that the listeners will be able to eavesdrop on said conversation, because I shared with some people on Facebook Live earlier today, it's like inspiration drips from your pores, and I want to get some. So I'm not going to take up any more time. We're going to get this ball rolling down the street. I want to first start off. You've got a purpose acronym. You know, I had to just pause. I was like, hold on, wait. You said you got a what? You have a purpose acronym, and the purpose acronym, that's how deep she is, y'all. Y'all better get ready, grab your pen, grab your pencil, and then catch the replay on the podcast, because she's going to give it to you. You have a purpose acronym that is STAR, S-T-A-R. Why don't you break that down for my listeners?
Amen.
Unpack it is what I call it. Unpack that.
I'm going to unpack it. I'm going to put some meat on the bones, girl. Two of the most profound questions we have often are, who am I and what is my purpose? And the notion of purpose oftentimes is looked at as one destination or one accomplishment or one occupation. And many times it is not that. It can be a reflection of our different journeys and stages in life. It can be a culmination of our many gifts and talents. It can be simply the testimony that comes from us making it and overcoming. Our purpose is to show someone else that they can overcome. For me, when God gave me the acronym STAR, it was speaking, teaching, acting, reaching millions through seminars, books, coaching, and events. And that pretty much entails both who I am, how I am, and the way that I generate or birth what I'm worth on the earth through those different streams of service and through those different streams of income. So when we walk in our purpose, when we walk in our passion, I believe that that's also our provision place, that there is no reason why we cannot love what we do, do what we love, and get paid very well for it, and that yeah. that service can leave the world better than we found it. You know, I have served students from grades K through 12. I've served teen girls and women. I've served incarcerated populations. I've served sex abuse survivors and women looking to transition into different careers and walks of life. And whenever I can leave the stain of the influence of inspiration, I believe that I have served that STAR acronym well. And when you talk about inspiration, that's my one word. You know, like Michael Jordan is known for basketball. Bill Gates is known for the computer or whatever. And for me, Nivanya is known for inspiration. And inspiration translates in spirit. And when we can do a thing in spirit, in the spirit of God, and to find the spirit of the thing that we're trying to lay hands on, then it becomes permanent. It can't be wiped away, washed away, or wished away by whatever is happening to us or around us. We become one with the spirit of that thing. And when a spirit is joined, it cannot be divided Ooh. Except for by a divine measure. Amen.
Amen. And I'm passing a virtual collection plate over up into here. Oh my gosh. I grow every time I speak with you, hear you, or get an opportunity to interact with you. And I'm hoping we get a chance to do the cruise deal where you and I go out and minister to the multitude. We're going to stay on OMG for today. But I'm really hoping, because when we did the Mo Me conference, it was off the chain. So let me go ahead and dive in a little deeper, because a part of what I love about you is, A, you're transparent. B, you exude inspiration. And as you were saying, you know, everybody gets known for their thing. And we all, in its collective, know you as being an inspiration specialist. That's what you do. You exude it. You walk in it. There is no situation I've ever seen you enter where you didn't turn it around. And so I want to ask, how did you get to this point? How did your spiritual growth and development happen? What was the trajectory? What was the situation or circumstances? How did you end up at this place of pure empowerment, pure inspiration?
Amen. I think that there are many times when God puts his fingerprint on certain people to do certain things. And for me, from the time I can cognitively remember, about 4 years old, I would hear the audible voice of God. I got to know God as my friend. And from there, it was a love affair. I did not have the kind of frame for God that many believers that I know experienced in terms of church edicts and don't sin, go to hell, do this, or God gets mad. I did not have that kind of introduction to God. God introduced himself to me in the person of the Holy Spirit first, and very young. With that said, I also, my paternal great-grandmother was a spiritualist, a healer. She laid hands. She spoke in tongues. She interpreted tongues. All of those spiritual gifts that we read about and that some people think have been extracted or exited from the church universal, which it has not been, were a part of my upbringing with my great-grandmother. And with that, I began to discern spirit, right? And so not to over spiritualize or religious, make things sound religious, but the fact of the matter is everything starts in the spirit before it manifests in the natural, right? Even when we think about making a baby, it's the spirit of getting together that allows the consummation that leads to the conception, right? So we don't have the physical act without the spirit of that, be it a spirit of love, a spirit of lust, a spirit of I'm just bored and want something to do, whatever it is that serves as that emotional ignition, right? And so for me, all things were seen through that lens. And that's been from very, very young. And as I got older, I went to college, you know, I learned some stuff. And I said, you know, well, I like the Bible, but everything in it isn't true. And all of this trying to assert my independence, as it were, especially in the climate of it's my thing, do what I want to do, right? And God, in his mercy, in his grace, and in his sovereign understanding of how he created this little brown girl, was patient with me, right? Mm-hmm. And he continued to allow me to both hear his voice, to witness his hand, and to see prophetically. When you walk in a prophetic mantle, and Mara, you know and share that, there's a season sometimes that you can go through where you're like, okay, Lord, am I crazy? Is this me? What's going on? And then God begins to bear witness by allowing those things to come to pass, by placing in your path what most uninitiated call coincidences. And then you begin to see that there's a profound rhythm that you are a part of, and the more aware you are of that rhythm, the more in sync with that rhythm you can be and become. And so the long and the short of it is I learned to dance with God, and I started dancing with God at an early age. And when you begin to celebrate that relationship and really fall in love with the person of God, then inspiration is both a default and a reflex, right? And so I thank God for it. It's not something that I petitioned for necessarily. It's not even something that I practiced. It was something that I just am. It is what I am and what I am becoming. Much like, you know, ask a fish, how do you swim? Or ask a bird, how do you fly? That which you are, when you release yourself to be that, it continues to grow and permeate and perpetuate itself. Right? So that that's my course in it, and I just thank God for it, because it's definitely not by me, you know. And some people say that, you know, they thank God for me, and oftentimes they thank me for whatever deliverance or measure of deliverance they have received, either from an interaction or from a course, a class, or what have you. And I continue to strive to be conscious to remind them it is God in me and not me, right? But the vessel we have some opportunity in it, because we got to show up. So I thank God.
Well, you
got to
be obedient. You got to show up. And you got to study to show yourself approved. You got to submit to the leadership. I mean, you're dancing with God, but he's leading. I mean, you can dance, and then you could try to take control of that dance, which means you can get off beat, you can get off rhythm, you could be out of step. And as you were sharing, you know, I was reminded, I was like, how do you not lose your footing, your step? How do you not be in rhythm or in beat? But then you answered it as I was thinking about asking it, because you said it wasn't something you petitioned God for. It was something that happened. It was the natural way that he allowed you to flow with him. And there's never been an opportunity that I've seen you teach a workshop or share a class or do an event where I wasn't very aware that you were literally the vessel, that it was you being obedient, but you given all of the glory and all of the credit back to the one who deserves it and the one who owns it. But I'm so grateful that you accepted the call and that you were obedient in the call and that you didn't keep the call to yourself, that you take and or create opportunities to share the giftings that are in you. Now, I do know that it hasn't always been an easy journey. I mean, you've got your hands in a lot of different things, and you're very good in a lot of different things. And unlike some that can say, oh, master, a jack of all trades, but a master of none, I've not seen you dive into an area that you haven't mastered, be it prayer calls, be it coloring workshops, be it workshops for a vision board. There's not been an area that I haven't seen you excel in. So my question to you, which is one of the things that I believe some of my listeners in particular may be struggling with, is how do you, when you've had some health challenges, or if you've had some setbacks or some disappointments in life, how do you continue to forge forward? What do you do to get yourself out of, because everybody's human and we have these moments where, you know, we don't have all green lights or we don't have the goal when we have a stop sign when we should have a goal, or we have a no when we thought it would be a yes. How do you overcome those kinds of obstacles? What are some practical tips or tools that you can share with our listeners to help them when they're having a down day, when it's been a down month, or when it's been a last year? You know, what's some of the ways that you pull yourself out of that? Because I know you have some things that you do to pull yourself by the bootstraps and get out of it.
Amen. One of the things, the scripture, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I remember when God gave me the revelation of that's not a temporal thing. It is, again, a spiritual thing. And the morning is when we can get in the spirit of rising up, when we can allow ourselves to elevate, be it our thinking or even our person, from where we are and what we are experiencing at that time. For me, sometimes it is as simple as laughing out loud for no reason. It is as disruptive as giving myself a round of applause like I've lost my natural mind. It is at times as sacred as lighting a candle and doing a salt bath for myself and reminding myself that I am the salt of the earth. And one of the things about women of color, particularly, we tend to take on this mantle of the strong black woman, right? And that means she can endure everything, absorb everything, and take anything and just keep on ticking. And in that, we deny ourselves at times the ability to stand wounded, to feel the pain, and then to reclaim our true power, which comes from healing, reconciliation, and the resurrection of God in wherever we've been wounded, right? But if we constantly just keep moving, we never give ourselves the real chance to heal. And so for me, when I feel those times, I allow myself to be wounded. And sometimes it gets ugly, you know, where I don't do my hair for a minute. I stay in the same clothes for 2 or 3 days.
Yes.
I go sackcloth and ashes for a minute so that I can sit in it and deliberately and intentionally stand in front of it, be honest with God and myself, saying, this is where I am. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. I am in a sorrowful place, right? And then when I shampoo my hair, girl, get these coils going back together, put my clothes on, get in the mirror and talk to myself about how good looking and beautiful and God sexy I am, then I can say I have left that and my morning has come, right? Then there's the system of developing a routine for yourself of both self-care and self-inventory. And that's one of the reasons why I created my coloring book for women and teen girls. It's called The Color of Inspiration. And it is broken down in chapters, and it gives the ability for the reader to do either a page a day or just a chapter on the weekend, or what, you know, maybe once a month they want to do two or three chapters, but it allows you to develop your own rhythm and routine of exploring yourself, uncovering whatever struggles you may have, and allowing you to start to breathe again. Coloring is so meditative, and it's so therapeutic. We use it with post-traumatic stress disorder. We use it with sexual dysfunction and with domestic and intimate violence recovery, because when you are coloring, your mind can relax and float. Your breathing becomes deeper and slower, and the actual movement of the crayon or the marker or whatever you're using creates this sort of symbiotic relationship between your mind and your body that in and of itself helps to repair cells. So all of this is a very scientific approach. But for me, as a little girl, coloring made me feel good. It made me relax, and it made me calm. Now, at that time, I couldn't tell you that it was serotonin being released or that, you know, epinephrine was being reduced or all of these other things that in my learnedness I've discovered as to why it was so effective. But that is one thing that I would submit to the listeners that you start to do just for a few minutes a day. You know, 10 minutes apiece can make a tremendous difference in your entire day and life. It elongates your life. It gives less wrinkles, make you look young. Girl, folks see me, they're like, oh, how old are you? I'm like, I never tell, darling. I don't have to because you can't guess. Because I laugh a lot. I sleep a lot, and I color a lot.
That's called self-care therapy. Self-care therapy.
Amen.
And I promise you. But you know what? I have really been trying to get people to wrap their head around the concept. I know I used to have this 10 to 10 rule. You couldn't call me before 10, and don't call me after 10. A, because I was nocturnal, and I think that me and God have a one-on-one party and conversation going on when everybody's asleep, me and him go into deep things. So I would stay up late so that I could get all the work that he wants me to get done accomplished, and then I would sleep until 10. Now, that rule doesn't apply to me right now, but when I used to do it, people used to go, you know, Mara's got that rule. She's, you know, don't call her before 10 o'clock. I had boundaries. I had parameters because I had self-care. And I know if you call me at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, because this was before we had the do not disturb on our cell phones where we could just tune you out and set our own timer. This was back in the day. But in addition to that, I laugh at the enemy. When you were talking about laughing out loud, I literally, and I encourage others, laugh when something's going wrong. Laugh in the midst of a stressful situation. Laugh when temptation is at its height. Laugh when disappointment seems like it's all you can see. It's your day to day. You wake up to a sad. If you laugh out loud, it tells the enemy one thing. It tells the enemy two things. One, I'm not taking you seriously because whatever you're trying to hold over me or put in my face, my God has got my back. He's going to show up.
Amen.
He's at Calvary. And
come
I know I
now.
Can hear the hooves of the horses coming. And so that's a part of therapy for me. And it's a part of a reminder to know that God, even when I don't see you coming right there, even though I don't see it, I know you're on the way. I know that it's
Amen.
Not, it's, you're going to get me out of this situation. And then you said something about the mind and the body and the therapy in terms of coloring. I just recently read something about them sharing coloring with patients of dementia and Alzheimer's because of the therapeutic properties. It causes them, it's something that they used to do when they were younger. And like you said, when we were younger and you colored, it invoked something. It caused something to come up out of you, an emotion of joy or bliss or simplicity. And it's carefree. It's one of those things that it's not like a puzzle where a puzzle, you got to kind of use your brain to kind of think. With coloring, it's a free falling exercise and there's no wrong or right. Now, some people color better than you only because you like it when they color in one straight line. And maybe you were the scribbly scrabbly kind of color that always went out. The line, but either way it goes, it's still putting something that could be laborious because it is a crayon to paper or a marker to cardboard. You're still doing something laborious, but it seems like it's easy. And it is
Amen.
Because your mind gets
Amen.
To freely allow you to just create and be one with the device. And as I've said before, paper the only job of paper is to be available. And so when we get to use the paper in whatever form we have, we're allowing the paper to do its job, basically. I'm excited about this, Navanya, and I really don't want to take a break. So we're gonna plow through a little more, and then I'll take a break on our next segment. But I want to invite our listeners in. If you'd like to call in, ask a question, make a comment, or ask Navanya to unpack something a little bit further of something she said, although I believe she breaks that thing down to the marrow. You probably don't, but there's probably some other pieces that maybe a listener wants to hear. If you'd like to call in with a question or a comment, give us a call at 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the line, the queue. Again, the phone number is 347-324-5246. So, Navanya, let me ask this. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know that you are a visionary. You dream big and you dream in color, I'm sure. So what is your greatest dream? If you could narrow it down to actually title a dream or give it a word or a phrase or a sentence, what would be your greatest dream?
Right. What would be my greatest dream is to be the media mogul that God has shown me in my spirit, where I would be creating digital content and content for the big screen and the small screen that literally transforms lives, that extends beyond just faith-based content and moves into the realm of transcendence. It would be like the Matrix meets Jumping the Broom.
I love it.
And I would be able to offer that on a massive scale, right? Because I think that the time for transforming media into the mechanism of ministry is now, and that ministry is no longer a stagnant nor dirty word. It is a word that is multifaceted. It is phenomenal, awe-inspiring, all-encompassing. You know, it is that thing that allows us to know that God is real, God participates, and that God is sexy too. You know, I think that sometimes we've created this very stodgy picture of God, and that's not what my God looks like, right? So I would love to be in a place where I could expose the masses to that. Now, one show that does it for me, or that really kind of pricked in me, that's the kind of content I want to create, is the show God Friended Me. You know, it has
that element.
Yeah, that element of both the word in its truest form and the word in its flesh and experience and life form. And I love that. So that's what
Navanya, let's tarry there for just a minute, and we're going to get you back on your on a track. The thing that I think, and I'm so glad you said that, and for those that are not aware of God Friended Me, it's on CBS, I believe.
Yes.
The show is based around a podcast and this gentleman doing a podcast, because he was an atheist at the time, but it's about genuinely taking an interest in someone else that extends you beyond what your normal or natural actions or reactions would be in order to serve someone else and help them find an answer or solution to a problem that they have. And the reason that I wanted to tarry there for a minute is because when you talked about how your dream would be to be this media mogul that produces this digital content that transcends just ministry, but of course is in the mainstream, but not just the mainstream, but literally would inspire people to want to be better. It doesn't matter when you have those kinds of dreams. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or if you're an atheist. if some content is produced that moves you to be the better self, which I believe is mm-hmm. is a part of God's purpose for all of us, what daily comes across your path that if you just make one slight adjustment or one slight stop or pause or take out some time and be selfless in this area, go a little out of your way to help somebody get there, how much better would the world be?
Amen.
And so
exponentially better.
Exactly. And so I love the fact that you not only have this big dream, but you even see a glimpse of how it can interact in the media, which is what you want to share it on, the platform, in the media, digital content, all over. But you also have a glimpse of it's possible because God doesn't love whoever created that show more than he loves Ms. Navanya Rose. I know he
Amen.
Does. I know
that's
a fact.
That.
And
oh, yes, girl.
You know what I'm saying? I know that. I know that. So I'm excited about your big dream, and your big dream isn't big to Daddy, but it's big enough for us to hold on to it, and it's big enough for you to see it come to pass because I know – If I know you like I think I know you, I know you've got that dream written down someplace because we understand the power, and this
Amen.
Is a nugget just for our listeners. We know the power of writing a thing down. Habakkuk 2:2 talks about writing the vision plain upon the table that he that read it will run with it, and you can't run with it until you've written it down. And when you see it, it is also a rich reminder of what you say you want to do. I mean,
Amen.
you don't want to go back on a promise you make to yourself, so write it down for you or carry it in your wallet or keep it on your phone, but I suggest you write it in addition to putting it on your phone because I believe a part of things that get lost in the cell phone, something about the laborious effort of putting pen to paper that also causes a relationship to the work that you put in that helps you remember the labor and the effort it took to put on the paper. So I'm going to give it back to you so that you can finish that thought that I might have just usurped in the middle of, but I had to tag in because I just thought that was rich. That was a good little nugget in addition to all
Amen.
The good nuggets you've been sharing.
And, you know, I think that even with what you're saying, writing the vision, yes, I have. I've also made vision boards, and I have a vision book. Now, I know I've heard many a sentiment that vision boards are passe or people will do them every year and not much will happen. And for me, I've had some vision boards where nearly everything has come to pass on my board. I've had vision boards where only one or two things have come to pass. And sometimes I will take inventory as to why did this come and not this, right? And when you're vetting
yes.
your vision, it is important there again, A, to study so that you know what you have right and access to from a word perspective and an authority perspective. And then it's also important to be honest with yourself about the work that you put in. So the word and the work, right, whatever
mm-hmm.
that quotient may be, little work gets little reward,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's mm-hmm. not a weight. It's not the weight of the work. It is both the strategy, the intensity, and the efficiency of the work, because we know that many people can do a small thing and get big rewards as far as the amount of
yep.
time that it took them or the amount of even energy that it took them. But there's still around that thing a very deliberate and strategic system that they work well, right? So
yes.
I think that vision boards are still very effective. They're highly stimulating. They're actually fun to do, I think. You know,
they are.
Just giving yourself permission to imagine, to think, ask, and or imagine so that God can do exceedingly and abundantly beyond that. Plus, when I can see a thing in its image, I then know that that thing is possible. And so many times we are trapped in the realm of impossibility because we cannot either see in our spiritual vision nor in our natural vision that the thing is possible, right? So that is a different permission slip when you see it in color and when you can hold it in your hands.
It is. It's like the faith factor. Faith is the evidence of things, the evidence of things unseen. I'm sorry. And so when you were saying that, I was like, that's the faith factor. It's seeing something which will help you see something. If I see it in front of me, it isn't until you see it either in your mind or on paper that you can actually see it before you will really begin to see it. And that comes, just like faith, by hearing and hearing and hearing, and the same by seeing and seeing and seeing. And also, and that was the important takeaway for, I think, our listeners on that is, if you don't see where you want to go and you've never been there before, how do you know it's possible for you? You've got to see yourself on that journey. You've got to see yourself getting there. And I'm going to go ahead and take a pause for the cause. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to dive in a little bit deeper, unpack some more things. I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to OMG, the Old Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm Mara Gale, your host. My special guest today is none other than the inspirational expert, Navanya Rhodes. If you've got questions or you've got comments, feel free to call in at 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered in the queue. We'll be right back after this short announcement.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG, the Old Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and my special guest today is none other than Navanya Rhodes. And Navanya, I want to continue on this track, but now I want to find out, what was your deepest wounds, because I know you minister a lot to teenagers and to women, but in order to minister in a lot of cases, and not all times have people really been through some things before they minister, because you don't have to have lived through crack in order to minister to somebody who's dealing with crack, but what was your deepest wound or pain, and then share with our listeners and myself, what was the deepest wound you've ever seen or heard about in some of the women that you minister to? Because most of the time we've lived through some kind of trauma, we've lived through some kind of hurt or disappointment, and that thrust us with this life experience and the word that can then speak to that dark place or speak to that hurt girl or speak to that wounded woman in a different way.
Amen. I think I'll answer that backward. I'll start at the end and move back, Mara, because my story is a little different. I did not experience any of the sorts of traumas or like mommy issues, daddy issues that many of my clients and those who I minister to have experienced. And I remember when I first did the play for Colored Girls Who Considered Suicide, When the Rainbow Is Enough, it felt familiar and alien to me at the same time because that was not my story, and I did not have those experiences growing up or even as a young woman. However, for me, after I did the play, then I experienced one of my own personal traumas that was not like anything I had seen or ministered to, but I experienced a hemorrhagic stroke. And I experienced this stroke while in an audition for a reoccurring series regular role on a popular show, a now popular show. And for me, just a little background, it was like I was standing in front of the promised land, right? Because this is what I had been believing God for, what I had believed, I heard God say prophetically. It was the course of my life that I had been performing and so forth since I was a little girl. And so now I am in this moment where the promise is coming to pass. And I experienced literally an assault on my brain. And physically what happened was my entire left side just went out of the audition room without me, and I was completely numb on the left side. And I had a real come to Jesus, as the old folks say, because I didn't understand why. There was nothing in my habits. I wasn't overweight, didn't smoke, never drank, so forth, so on. As I later learned, I was diagnosed with a disorder called moyamoya, which literally only 1 in 2 million Americans are diagnosed with this disorder. And it is a disorder of the circle of Willis, which is basically kind of 2/8 that are in our brain, which are the main blood vessels that get blood supplied to the brain. And so I had an abnormality on one bottom half of those 8s, right, which caused a blood vessel to burst in my brain. And so that level of trauma for me represented both a crippling disappointment and a chronic disconnection from who I believed myself to be, and the spiritual cord between myself as that being and God as the creator of me, right? And that is what gave me a more, I'll call it mature, because that's the best word that I can find, understanding of what pain looks like, feels like, and how it shows up in our lives, both as physical pain, emotional pain, and the residue of both, even after the actual pain has stopped, right? And I developed in that a sensitivity and an awareness of how to heal by reconnecting people to self. There is a beauty that comes with loving yourself, knowing yourself, and accepting yourself. When we look at the Bible and they begin to ask of Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? The first was to love God with all your might and all your soul. And the second, he said, is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. And so when we can master that love of self from a spiritual level, because some people, you ask, do you love yourself? And on a surface level, they can say yes, you know, but if you begin to pull those layers back, they may not even know truly what it means to love yourself in the spiritual essence of that word. And so my recovery from that stroke experience required me to both learn myself, learn my love of God, learn how to reconcile this which had happened and that which I know God is still yet speaking in and over my life, and make all of that very real time. You know, it wasn't a let me take these 3 scriptures and just keep confessing it, because that didn't work. I had to really dive in and let God finish the surgery that the trauma had started. And then your second question was, what's one of the deepest wounds? And this for me, man, it blew my mind, really. And when you're working with people who have suffered and survived serious trauma, the last thing you can do is show on your face any kind of dis-ease around their story, right? Because at this point, they're giving you their heart and putting it in your hands, and you can't say, ew, what is this? You can't do that, right? So I'm sitting right. and I'm breathing and I'm praying in the spirit because this sister is sharing her story. She's 21 years old at the time, and she finds out that the man who she has grown up with as known as her father is not her biological father. And she has been asking the family, who is my real father? And the family will not tell her. So everybody has amnesia, mom's the word, I don't know, we don't talk about it, just let it go, right? So in her determination, she goes outside of the family's caution and kind of forbiddance, and she finds her biological father. He doesn't live in the same city where they are. So she travels to meet her biological father, comes to the door, you know, tells him who she is and what have you. He invites her in, and that night rapes her.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. And I'm like, huh? And she flees his house, violated and disheveled, finds her way back home, tells her family back home what has happened, and the revelation is this. The biological father had raped her mother when they were teens, and that's how she was conceived. And that is why the family never told
her.
And I'm like, that was one of the heaviest things. And this sister was still full of joy and peace. And I said, God, this right here is the greatest testimony to love covers a multitude of sins, and that any wound can be healed with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the love of God, when you can truly tap into that. Now, the enemy builds huge brick walls to keep us from believing that God loves us as much as God loves us. Because there's a whole conversation that happens, you know, if God loves me, how could he allow this to happen to me, right?
And that is
an answer and a formula that I don't believe we find out until we cross over the Jordan. But the truth on this side of the Jordan is that which has been allowed, God also has a balm and a provision to heal, to supply, to realign, and to resurrect, right? And
so yes.
When we can press through the offense of our pain, because truth, pain, all of that is offensive. It shocks us out of where we're standing. It makes us out of balance and pushes everything out of sync. And it is God and his ministry, his sovereignty, his clarity, his boldness. You know, the audacity of God is something that will make you tell the devil, I refuse to die.
Right?
No matter how much you throw at me, I just am not. I'm not gonna give up, right?
No, so, not gonna give up. You're right.
Right, and so that piece of it, her story didn't end there. Because if I told you the rest, it's like it's so heavy. Then it's like, come on now, you got to be lying. This just don't happen to no
because
one person
so unbelievable
in one lifetime.
And so traumatic.
Yes.
Yeah, it's because we seldom want to believe things that seem so far out of the realm of anything we've ever heard or let alone experienced. But it is in those things that God will show us the greatest example. You said a woman full of joy, a woman who is full of laughter, a woman who has made peace with her past and her pain. That's the kind of vessel that God will use to say, look, look, I work this out for her good, because she's able to tell you guys so that when I think about a problem I may have,
right,
it ain't nothing like that. And I lived through some things. Unlike you, I mean, I was gang raped by 5 grown men at one point in my life. So I have lived through some things. But to hear about, and I praise the Lord that my disposition is not one of sorrow and shame and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness.
Amen.
I'm so
Amen.
Grateful he has grown me into the woman that I am. But even as I listened to her story, that didn't happen at the hands of my dad. That didn't happen from my biological seed.
Right.
You know, so
right.
So even in that, daddy's allowing her story, even as you're sharing it over the airwaves, he's allowing her story to transcend her situation to the point that the multitude gets to hear, so that when there's a parking ticket on their car, or when there's a diagnosis from a doctor that they don't understand, or when there's a bill that's on their desk or table and they can't seem to figure out how to pay for it, the same God who's sovereign enough to heal this woman, to turn her mourning into beauty, is the same God who will deliver you from whatever situation, circumstance, or disappointment you may be currently experiencing.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So I'm grateful that you were there to hear that story, to share with us, and that's just a piece of it based on your own admission. Because the rest
yes.
of it you said is even, it's like, oh, my gosh.
Right, right. And I said, and you still clothed and in your right mind. It is a
Hallelujah.
Fool who would say there is no God, because
yes.
we know, I mean, even, and I talked about this in the beginning about a thing being a spirit. Forgiveness
yes.
is a spirit, because
yes,
in
is.
Our flesh, we don't want to forgive. You know, I'm looking
no,
at
ma'am.
Castration and devastation. I need something
there
to happen. There need to be some repercussions,
yes.
consequences happening. But in the spirit, God
yeah.
allows you to see how pained and hurt and twisted an individual would have to be to do something
yeah.
like that. You know,
yes.
the darkness in
yes.
your life has got to be
yes.
thick, right? And
yes.
so the
yes.
God in us, the spirit in
yes.
us, allows us to forgive. And
yes.
she was living, breathing proof of that. And for me,
and
it put a lot of things in perspective, really did.
As you were saying that last bit, and then I'm going to let you share with our listeners how they can reach you and contact you, because I'm
okay.
looking at our time and it's whittling away. But I want to just tarry on that forgiveness piece. You know, I often say, I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to draw closer to God. I forgive
Amen.
You for giving me an opportunity to be able to share my testimony so that somebody else can be set free. I forgive you for giving me an opportunity to search God's word for his truth and his promises, so that the next time a mountain stands before me, I can quote the scripture back and tell the mountain to move out of my way. I forgive
Amen.
You for giving me an opportunity to not only grow, but an opportunity to sow into the multitude who get to hear me, because God has given me a public platform. So when someone does something ill to me, it is no longer I'm going to give you power over me, keeping me in a frustrated state and unforgiveness. I'm going to forgive you, and I'm going to forgive you as quick as I possibly can, because I
Right.
understand that there's a freedom that comes with forgiveness, and there's also a reward that comes with forgiveness. And woe be unto me if I weren't able to share the stories of the things I've lived through that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because like the leper in the word says, and one came back, there's been multitudes that have come back and said, it was when you said this, or it was when you stood up and you were so transparent. It was when you stood before the people naked and told of how you felt when you were broke to the core behind a divorce, or it was when you got back up and I saw you standing on stage after I know you went through a devastating situation. It is in those moments that we get to see God make a thing new. We get to see God turn it around for our good. And, you know, as you were ministering about that whole situation, it reminded me of a film. Like you mentioned, God Friended Me, the TV show, but the film The Shack was the closest Christian crossover secular or faith-based crossover secular film that I ever saw that showed God in a diverse fashion, in a diverse way, but also explained in the closest that I've seen, based on what I feel, of how God is in the suffering and in the pain with us. He doesn't leave us when there's a problem. He's in it with us, which is why we're able to bear it, because there are some things that we would have lost our minds or took our lives behind, because in the moment it feels so devastating. It's, you feel so depressed and so distraught that you got to think about how to brush your teeth, how to comb your hair, like you were saying you would when you got up out of the bed and washed your hair and looked in the mirror and reminded yourself of who you really are and whose you really are. That's when things start to turn around. But the enemy likes to keep us in silence. He likes to keep us separated, and he likes to keep us in that sickness, that dis-ease of discomfort, so that he can continue to feed us his lies. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you chose to get up out of it and to just say, Lord, use me and allow these lessons and these scars to be a roadmap to another woman's suffering, because we are better as a result of it. So would you please, Navanya Rose, which this is never enough time with you, and I so wish I had more, but in these last few minutes, I want a couple of things from you. One, I'd like for you to share with our listeners ways that they can contact you, reach you, as well as some of the things that you are offering. I know you do raw drama therapy sessions. You also do raw coloring power parties, and I know you're a speaker. If you could take about 2 minutes to share that, and then in the last minute, I'm going to allow you to close out the show with a prayer like nobody else that I could call upon to do. I'm going to sign out at this point and just tell my listeners I appreciate you. I thank you for listening. You guys know I've never not closed my own show, but I am sensing the Holy Spirit ready to use your tongue, because I know your tongue is willing. And I'm going to say goodnight to my listeners. You guys are listening to Navanya Rose. I thank you for having tuned in to OMG, the Omara Gail Radio Show, where we broadcast every Thursday, 4 o'clock Pacific Standard, 6 o'clock Central, 7 o'clock Eastern. You're listening to the voice of Navanya Rose. She's going to share a little bit about how you can reach her, and she's going to close us out in prayer with whatever's laid on her heart. Thank you, Navanya.
Amen. You may reach me at IamNavanya.com, and that's IamNevaina.com. And my Instagram is the same, IamNavanya. I offer coaching classes. We've got books that will inspire and empower you. So please reach out on the website, IamNevaina.com. I thank God for this opportunity, and all under the sound of my voice, God. I pray the spirit of release, oh God, over each and every person, God, who has come to the place where they want to give up, give out, or give in. God, I speak destiny in their belly right now, oh God. I speak life, oh God, over those dead circumstances. I speak, God, that they will not try to revive that which you, God, have allowed to die for a reason. Father, that you will prune us, oh God, of those things that hold us back from purpose, that you will release us, oh God, from those soul ties who keep us sick, oh God, and stagnant, oh God. Father, this is the season of growing, of knowing, of bowing and leaping. God, I speak to that woman who is ready to leap out on faith and start her own business, God. She's been held back by fear. She's been held back by family. Ain't nobody ever done this before. Ain't nobody ever known how to do this in our family. God, you have called her to be the first one. God, I speak to that man right now who needs to turn around and reconnect to his children. God, so many of us are living fatherless and full of fear, but the time for fathers to return is now. God, I thank you for the spirit of return that is on this line, to return to the dream, to return to the Lord, to return to yourself. Come into the knowledge of yourself. Know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Believe that you are the masterpiece of the master, that he makes no mistakes, that there's nothing wrong, nothing broken, nothing missing.
Thank you, Lord.
That you are whole, perfect, and complete. Every flaw, every scar, every trial, every tribulation is a part of the divine design. It gives your life texture. It gives your spirit depth. It gives your soul hope. It allows you to be strengthened. So I speak a spirit of joy over you tonight. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I laugh at the devil because he thought he had you, but he missed. He thought he could destroy you, but he has been debunked. He has no power, no authority, and no space because God has filled us to the brim. In Jesus' name and every name holy and sacred that we know God for ourselves, we say,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. You're worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
OMG, that's me.
I'm so worthy.
OMG, that's me. We're gonna have fun. I can't wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.